This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Let's talk a little bit about what the rules and the regulations say when it comes to the ownership of exotic animals as pets, especially in the country. We're in conversation now with the Deputy Director General of Biodiversity and Conservation from the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment, Flora Mokotra, joins us now. Flora, thank you so much for your time this afternoon and welcome to Power Lunch.
Good afternoon, Faith, to you and your listeners.
What does the law say when it comes to the ownership of exotic and, let's say, wild animals in private confines?
Okay. I think we need to make a distinction here. So if we were to talk about, in the case of exotics, like the tiger, the tigers that are in the country have been there before as the Department of Forestry, Environment, Forest Fisheries and the Environment promulgated regulations on what we call alien invasive species. So the alien invasive species regulations essentially regulate the introduction of species that are not native in South Africa. So now tigers are exempt in terms of those regulations. That's the first thing that I just need to point out. Similarly, they are also exempt in terms of what we call threatened and or protected species regulations, which basically applies only to indigenous wild species. And when I say species here, Faith, recall I'm talking about animals and plants. I'm not necessarily talking about animals only.
Now so when you, Flora, just before you continue, when you're saying that they are exempt, it means that they're not included in that regulation?
Yes, they are not included in the alien invasive species regulations, nor are they included in the threatened and or protected species regulations of South Africa, largely because the alien invasive species regulations that we have, which are 2014, came only after the tigers had been introduced in South Africa. So tigers are exempt in terms of that. Now, if you would like to keep an exotic species on your property, provincial and local governments are the ones that are responsible for that. Now, I'm talking here in the particular case where that particular species has been introduced either before or after these alien invasive species regulations I'm referring to. I'm talking exotics here, because exotics are not South African animals and all plants. So in the case of you keeping them, we have provincial and local government regulations that will apply where they exist. There are instances where they do not exist, nor are such regulations explicit in terms of the keeping of such exotic animals and or plants.
So in other words, when we're saying that there are no explicit regulations, it means that there could be room for loopholes and there are places where it could be a grey area.
Exactly. And that is why we have convened with all the provincial environmental authorities last week. Mm-hmm. We have set up a task team that will also work together with SAUGA, South African Local Government Association, to specifically address all those gaps that we have identified. We will also roping in the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, because they control the movement of plants and animals into and out of our country at the ports of entry. So we've got a task team that has been set up. They are going to assess all the existing legislation, identify the gaps, and come up with a necessary regulatory framework. In this case, our role as the DFFE, Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment, is to facilitate the process. It's not that we're going to own the process with the department necessarily. It could be that the regulation might come out of agriculture, or otherwise we can improve existing regulations that exist within provinces and municipalities. So that is essentially what we are going to be doing in the next few months.
But then does it not come across, Flora, as almost, it's reactive, right? You're saying this was only introduced in 2014. You still have the exemption and gray areas. If we really are to be honest right now, because there's a gray area, it means that I can own a tiger. You know, before anything gets put in black and white and now it's legislated, now I can't, if I'm seen to be doing this and I'm breaking the laws, I can have a loophole where I can own these things, which makes us wonder, who owns these tigers? Because I don't know, and maybe you'll be able to shed some light. Do we have a record? Do we have a breakdown of which South African and who are the owners of these exotic animals? Like, do we have like a profile of them? Because if you don't know them, you don't know what is in people's homes. It could be an anaconda sitting that is just waiting for an opportunity to get out of a house, and we're not even going to know about it. Do we have that list of who owns what in this country?
Not necessarily that as the National Department, we have and keep a list of such nature. So that list of such nature, where it exists, it will be in the, for instance, in how it will be the Department of Agriculture, Rural Development and Environment. And if it is within the city of Johannesburg or Ekurhuleni, they might even be able to have that database. What we have done, Faith, when we met with the provinces, we then requested them to say, what do you know exists in your respective province? We've determined that there is about 416 tigers across the country.
416 tigers?
416 tigers
that are privately owned,
that are in private properties across the country. So we got the stats from all the provinces, except we didn't have data from Mpumalanga, which we are waiting for, and there is none in the Northern Cape. So all the other provinces do have some tigers that exist on private property. Okay, and we've also determined the number of facilities in which these tigers are kept. I need to indicate that the provinces also do have some guidelines in terms of, if you are keeping such an exotic animal in your property, what are the regulations? So they will specify, in the case of a tiger, what type of fencing you need, what is the size of the property, what type of fencing that needs to be in place, etc. And they will also be responsible for doing what we call compliance enforcement, where they will come onto your property to check whether you are complying with the necessary regulations that they've put in place.
But then in this case, as we're seeing that a lot of the tigers are escaping, it means as though the compliance mandate has not been fulfilled. And I'm saying this at the back of the fact that, you know, in 2010, right, it was a story that went international. Reuters actually covered the story of a tiger escaping also from the owner as far back as 2010. And I remember the 17-month-old tiger was actually called Panjo. Back in 2010 in South Africa, big story was written about us, right? So this thing about tigers escaping from their owners is something that is not new to South Africa. It's been happening for an age-old time, which goes back into the fact that if we can't even say where specifically, or in some provinces, it's not declared who owns and how many tigers there are, that means that we've got a bunch of people that have got tigers in their backyards that are potentially not compliant, that could potentially put the public at risk, as we're seeing. I mean, as I said, there's a story about Panjo, 17-month-old Panjo in 2010 already, which means this thing about tigers escaping from their owners has been happening for a very long time. And that's a danger. Surely that we keep speaking about banned pit bulls, but at the same breath, we are actually the same people that are having a gray area when it comes to keeping a tiger.
Yeah, you're referring to the Panjo story, and I understand that it was being transported. So we also have regulation in terms of transport, because when you do transport a wild animal, you do need a permit, and the provinces will advise on what type of permit you need to be getting. So, Faith, I think I just need to clarify. Our mandate as the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment, our primary mandate, it's about survival of the species in the wild. And when I talk about survival of species in the wild, I'm talking about species that naturally occur in the wild in South Africa. That is our primary mandate. Yes, there are instances where we do have introductions of species into South Africa. Now, in terms of these alien invasive regulations that I'm referring to, they have a number of, they have about three categories in terms of what then needs to be done if you are introducing an exotic species into the country. So we have about three categories broadly. And it depends also on what we call a risk assessment that needs to be undertaken before you even export such a import such an exotic species into the country. So a risk assessment needs to be done. Once it is done, the first category is those ones that need to be combated. And if they have already been established in the country, they will need to be eradicated. You will know that we've got a very comprehensive and invasive program in the department where we are removing alien invasive species. There's also species that need to be controlled. Those are species that are already established in the country. We don't necessarily need to control. I mean, we don't necessarily need to combat or otherwise eradicate, but we need to control their spread. And then there are species that require a permit. Now, a tiger in this particular case, if it was subject to our alien invasive regulations of 2014, would have then required a permit to be exported into the country. Mm-hmm. And as I indicated, they were introduced before the regulations were in place. So therefore, we could not retrospectively apply the regulations for tigers. Now, so all these tigers, the 416 that we're talking about, they are all they've all been in the country. As matters stand, the provinces have not made us aware of any new permits for exporting of tigers into the country since the regulations were introduced, as I'm indicating. And therefore, you are correct to say that the public needs to be very concerned that you wouldn't know that your neighbor next door owns an exotic pet that may cause human health and harm to you. The alien invasive regulations that I'm talking about face essentially look at the threat of this species to the environment. Yes, it could be that there are cases where there are some gaps in our current regulation to the extent that we could expand the threat of these alien invasive species to human well-being and health, generally speaking. And certainly that's a matter that the task team might need to deliberate on as we work into tighten the regulatory framework around the management of exotic species in the country.
I'm going to just take a call, Flora, very quickly, if you want to also comment on this regarding just the regulations that surround the ownership of exotic animals as pets, particularly looking at tigers. And we're understanding now when it comes to, you know, the regulations of 2014 at the time, it exempted the alien invasion or alien invasion species kind of regulation. It exempted tigers. Do you want to say something regarding it? Let me start off in Mamelodi. Hello, Tab.
Hi, Faith.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Faith, here we have a problem, Faith, because if we are unable to deal with the issue of our pets, of which are dogs, bulls. Mm. So how are we going to deal with this kind of animals that are not even regulated? Because there's another business out there, Faith, of smuggling these animals. Once they get into the country, they disappear. And then there are other breeders who are mixed breeding the tiger and the lion, of which to this called liger, of which is a very, very large animal, Faith.
What is it? What are they mixed breeding? The tiger and the lion?
Yeah, it's called the liger.
The liger.
And then they are hiding this pest because of they are not allowed. The problem that we have faced is that you can take this animals out of the wild, but they are born with this wild. Their instinct is to hunt. Even though you can feed them, but they'll always look for a way to go and hunt themselves. Unfortunately, they're coming across humans. That's the problem that we have.
Yeah, Tabo, and to be honest with you, I don't understand what human being wants to keep a tiger in their house. Like, to be honest, just when you've decided that you want to own a tiger in your house, I don't think that's, I don't know. Like, I can't fathom the type of person and understanding that would want to keep a tiger in the house. But Flora, are you aware of this stuff that's developing? And I mean, this is stuff that is happening, as I said, black market, under the radar, where you even have the interbreeding of species.
I wouldn't be aware sitting in Pretoria at National Department. And as I indicated, this is largely responsibilities of provinces and local government. I also need to further indicate that to the extent, and I did indicate earlier on, that people bring in exotic species into the country's concern. The Department of Agriculture regulates that at ports of entry. They work with us, especially in case where that particular species may have an impact on the environment. And in respect of the breeding of animals, that also is the responsibility of the Department of Agriculture. So where someone is interbreeding animals, the Department of Agriculture is certainly have regulation pertaining to that. And obviously, we live in a society where, yes, there are rooms for criminal activity or illegal activities to take place. It could be that people are interbreeding animals necessarily without the Department of Agriculture not being aware or the authorities not being aware in that particular case. So to the extent that the interbreeding is then concerned, the Department of Agriculture will be best placed to answer that.
Is there any way that we can completely ban this? Like just a total ban on the ownership of any exotic animal? Just ban it. Like you shouldn't be owning it unless you've got a game reserve, unless you've got a nature reserve, unless you've got a conservation reserve. But just really ban it. To think that in Edenvale and in offices there's a tiger that is jumping over walls, and in one instance even next to a school there was a primary school or was it a creche where you had a tiger that was next door to it. And it just makes you wonder what kind of people actually think that having a tiger in the house is okay. Are we going to get anywhere where it's completely illegal?
These task team that are referred to, the intergovernmental task team that are referred to, that's going to look at the regulatory, tightening the regulations. Certainly, one of the options is to look into complete ban of ownership of exotics, of dangerous animals, on especially within neighborhoods, if I were to say so. And it wouldn't only cover tigers. It probably will also cover reptiles. You know, people own exotic snakes, which might walk into your property space. Mm-hmm. You know, that is dangerous. So the scope of this task team is to look broadly into the ownership, keeping the owner, ensuring that the owner is then responsible, outlawing the keeping of such dangerous wild animals. So the Department of Agriculture is also going to be part of this task team, working with us and ensuring that their own regulatory systems that they have are tightened to be able to regulate them.
Flora, we'll leave it there for now, but much appreciated for your time. Flora Mokotla, who is the Deputy Director General of Biodiversity Conservation at the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment. Basically, it's grey area as things stand. There's still a little bit of grey area there. I just don't understand. What kind of people wake up in the morning and say, you know what I'm going to own? I'm going to own a tiger in my residential area. I'm going to own Sheba. I don't understand.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.